Did I do it right? All right, good deal. Well, just three quick things. One, thanks for coming and staying once you heard who was speaking. Want to remind everybody the Winterfest meeting Wednesday night. It's a mandatory meeting. Everybody that's going to Winterfest needs to be there so we can go over all the plans and festivities and get everything lined up so everybody's on the same page. The third thing that you probably don't know about, and he would not tell you, but Tommy and Allison have lead roles in the play Shenandoah in Woodbury that will be performed through toward the end of March. And he wouldn't tell you that. Allison probably would. But where is she? But you need to go and support them and just to enjoy watching them perform. What a great thing for a father-daughter to do together. So I wanted to give a plug that direction. Will you pray with me? Father, thank you for letting us be here. Thank you for the sunshine, for the just a nice, pleasant morning. And Father, we thank you for choosing us as your children. Despite our flaws, despite our immaturity, despite our behaviors, you continue to love us, and we thank you today and hopefully every moment that we will be aware of how good you are to us. Thank you, Father, for your Son, and give us strength, Father, to reflect your glory moment by moment. In Jesus' name, amen. It's already jumped. I am just not good at this. Well, it's already to the end. Well, I'm done. Almost. There's the punchline. Okay, we're just going to leave. Yeah. I'm not going to touch it. Y'all saw, I didn't touch it. I've been thinking about what to talk about, and I want to share some lessons I've learned. I've spent the last 5 years in and out of the county jail. For those of you that don't know, I do work in and out of the jail. I get to go home most every night. But there's some things that I've learned from the folks there. Some interesting lessons. Michael Reynolds knows some of those lessons that you learn. Some helpful, some not so helpful. But there's some principles that as folks have applied them, I've seen lives transformed. And the transformation has come not from any big program, not from a medication, not from following a set of rules necessarily. It's come from discovering God. For a couple of years now, we've heard the statement, yes, you can. And I'm just here to tell you today that no, we can't. Not in the realm as it's been presented at times that we have the power to change. We have the ability through education and self-reliance and independence to change. Because I'm telling you, that's not true. We cannot change ourselves, our world, our community without God. In order to make those changes, to turn that no we can't to yes we can, we've got to admit to ourselves that our lives are a mess. And I can prove that. Don't raise your hands. But how many of you this week messed up? How many times did you do the very thing that you promised yourself or other family members or friends that you wouldn't do? Maybe you made that promise last month, last week, or just an hour before. How many of those choices about language, about study, about weight, about exercise, about forgiveness. How many of those things had you promised yourself that you were going to do better? And you were going to buckle down and you were going to make it work no matter what? And we failed. Didn't we? We did. Because no strength, no confidence, no peace, no progress will ever come until we come to the point where we admit our lives are a mess and we are responsible for the consequences of our own actions. Paul said that he was the chief of sinners. And when you think about the Apostle Paul, you think of someone who was knowledgeable. Education wasn't an issue with Paul. Zeal wasn't an issue with Paul. If anybody was zealous, it was Paul. He had the energy, the enthusiasm, the self-reliance, the determination, the intellectual ability, and yet he could not do it alone. And if Paul couldn't do it, folks, we can't either. And we have to come to the point to realize that it doesn't matter if you memorize every dot, every comma, every word, every pronunciation in the Old and New Testament. Without God at the helm and us realizing we cannot do it by ourselves, nothing is going to change. It just isn't. But most of us spend our lives, we have a torture device at our house. It's called an elliptical machine. And it hasn't moved real far since it first arrived in our back porch. I did put it together and I've moved it a little bit. And it produces a lot of anxiety. You know, it produces guilt when I walk by it and hang things on it. It produces guilt when I walk by. I walk by it pretty often. It produces, you know, some weariness because I actually will get on it occasionally and just work. And it doesn't matter how hard I work. It doesn't matter how fast I pump or how slow I pump. That machine has not moved 3 inches, except from the wobble from where I'm pushing it so hard. But it doesn't go anywhere. Now, there's a little device on there called an odometer that says it's gone a couple of hundred miles. Probably came with that many miles on it. But it says it's gone that far. But the truth, folks, is it hadn't moved an inch. When we believe that we can do it ourselves, it's like we're on that elliptical machine. And we're trying and we're pushing and we're thinking we're making progress when the truth is we haven't gone anywhere. Because our lives are still a mess. Our promises remain broken. Our ability to care and to recover from past mistakes remains the same. But once we admit, I have made a mess of things. I'm responsible and I need help. Doors begin to open. You read it all through the New Testament. You read it all through the Old Testament. You see it in the lives of people around you, and you see it in your own life. That when we admit that we cannot do it alone, one word in Scripture is called repentance. When we truly put our hands up in the air and say, I give up. I cannot do it alone anymore. I cannot handle this anymore. I need help. And God's right there. We all see little blurbs of that in our lives, don't we? I mean, everybody can look back and you see, you know, I can remember when I was at the wall and I didn't think I could go anymore and I cried out to God and He was there and He rescued me. And the problem is we don't live near the cliff often enough, maybe. But the second way to change that we can't change to yes we can is to accept that power, the fact that God alone has the power to change me. But we're just stubborn. And I saw some of you nudge people sitting beside you. Aren't we? I mean, we're Americans. We're American Christians. We think that God has blessed us beyond any other nation, and if it can be done, we can do it, doggone it, with technology and education and everything else. We can do it. We just need to buckle down and use what's in us. But what's the truth? What I want to do, I don't do. And what the things I don't want to do, those are the things I end up doing. What is that about? It's about me trying to still be in control of things. About me being in charge. About me calling the shots. That's what it's about. Morris last week talked about Naaman. What drove Naaman to see Elisha? He was sick and he ran out of options. What caused the leper to reach out to Jesus? He was sick and he had no other options. What caused the lame man to beg Peter to heal him? He was sick and he had no other options. What caused the diseased people to reach out and beg just for a handkerchief that the Apostle Paul had touched for healing? It was because they were sick and they'd run out of options. The same's true for us. We are crippled by our choices, diseased by our decisions, blinded by the behaviors that have happened to us in the past. And it brings us to a point that we have to choose to realize that we can't do this on our own anymore. And all the wounds that bring us to this point today in Manchester, Tennessee, all the wounds, all the disappointments, all the heartaches bring us to a point to say, what's next? What am I going to choose to do? Am I going to choose to trust in a God who has the power to heal me? Or am I going to continue to struggle in sickness? Am I going to continue to wallow in the world that I'm in? One of the phrases that folks use that I talk to a lot are, I am sick and tired of being sick and tired. That works for us too. I mean, we don't have to be in jail. We don't have to be looking at losing everything we own. To come to the point of, are you just sick and tired of waking up worried about things, going to bed worried? Being mad constantly or afraid? You can't change that, but God can if we allow Him. His promise is all you have to do is ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. And the real question for us is, do we believe that or not? Do I believe that if I honestly am seeking the will of God, I honestly want God to work through me, that if I ask Him, He's not going to answer me? The real struggle becomes, though, is it God's will or my wish list? And those are kind of hard to determine which is which sometimes in my head, because I can justify most anything. But for us to choose to change, we have to admit that the power is of God. And then we just need to act. We have to be willing to give God control of everything in our lives. I grew up thinking this candy was now or later. I did. I just grew up with everybody calling them now or laters. And for a long time, I thought that's the way Christianity worked. You could have fun now or you could have it later. You know, life could be good now, or if you're just good enough and do the right things, it can be good later. It was never now and later. But that's exactly what God calls us to. That when we admit our lives are a mess and that we want His power, acknowledge His power, and we let Him act, our lives become great now and later. He called us to live lives of abundance now. said, I came that you would have life and have it to the fullest, to have it abundantly, not just sometime later, but today. But we have to let him have control. Just think about these folks from Hebrews 11 who allowed God to act through them. Do you think Noah really wanted to build a boat in the desert for a rainstorm that was coming? Just think about it. One, I don't know if there were actually boats around. And as far as we know, it never rained before. Suppose you want to explain that to your wife. I need to go Home Depot and get some lumber to build a boat for a flood. You know, and there's the whole Bill Cosby routine on that I won't go into. Or Abraham, God says you're going to be the father of many nations, and he was older than dust without a child. But he had to believe God. And Moses, who had murdered someone, God sends him back to Egypt to talk to Pharaoh. Now, if God came to you and said, I need you to go to Washington, D.C. tonight, walk in the White House and meet with the president, and I've got some things for you to say, and your name happened to be on the CIA and FBI list. Any takers for that? You'd never see the White House. And yet that's what Moses did, not because he wanted to. Not because he wanted to, but because he acted based on his faith in God. Or Gideon, you remember the story of Gideon that was supposed to lead the children of Israel? And where'd they find Gideon? When God said, Gideon, I want you to lead the people. He was hiding. He's not on here, but King Saul hid in luggage when they went looking for him, when God called him to be king. If we want change within our hearts, within our lives, within our church, within our community, within our country, we can change. But we have to admit that our lives are a mess. Accept that only God has the power to change anything. But God has the power to change everything. And allow him to act through us. We don't get to pick. When God presents an opportunity in front of us, it's not like, okay, God, I'll take the first, third, and seventh one. No, typically it's one opportunity he puts in front of us with the call to act. Then it changes from no, we can't, to yes, he can. We do not have what it takes to live for God without him living in us and through us all the time. But it's our choice. But the promise and the facts are that if we do, he can. If we trust him. I don't know what you're struggling with. I don't know what has haunted you this week or this month or this year. All I know is he can help. He can change things if we will let him, if we'll let him in. And the choice is ours, and the choice is yours. And if we can help you, as you respond, if you want to respond this morning, then we'd be happy to do that while we stand and sing this song.